the motor on drum brake. We are going to have our first model go into production in the next few months. The team has done a superb job on the design and development here. Very small lead time. From a feature perspective, I've driven this in all kinds of conditions. It works really well, right? It feels exactly like a motor on caliper park brake, quite a bit lower in cost, and obviously works on vehicles that are already designed with a drum brake on the rear. So it gives you all the features of a park brake, which is, drive away assist, hill hold, roll away prevention. All those features are built in. So from a software perspective and feature perspective, it meets all the requirements and can give you all the features that a typical EPB caliper would give you. Customers are reciprocating. Once they see it, they're very happy because it fits on their existing products to a large extent.
Welcome to Coffee Break, the official podcast of the Break Report. Here we dive deep into the world of brake technology, bringing you exclusive interviews with industry leaders and insights into the companies shaping our future. Let's get started. Welcome. I'm Brian Hagman, and my guest today is Sharan Vijay, Managing Director for Brakes India. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks, Brian. Pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me on.
So I want to talk about to start off with the Indian market in general. Can you describe to me kind of what it's like from an automotive perspective in India? Maybe any trends that are going on or just maybe, some differences within, the U.S. and India?
Just to give your listeners the context, right? I think India has obviously been in the news quite a bit in the last few years. I think the economy has been doing well. The country is growing. As a country, India has a population of 1.4 billion. So it is officially, I think, the most populous country in the world right now. Just to give you some context as well, in terms of size of the automotive industry, I think we have the third largest individual country in terms of vehicle sales and production. You have, China and the US. EU as a region would obviously be much bigger than India. I think at about 9, 10 million vehicles. So India is pretty much quite a close in terms of a country size to a couple of the European countries combined. So we're at about 4.1 million vehicles sold if you look at passenger cars and UVs. In addition to that, the market also is, very dominated by scooters and motorbikes still. So you have almost, a large percentage of that is, sub 150 cc motorbikes and scooters. So these are pretty small vehicles, almost 10 million of those. And from a commercial vehicle perspective, almost 500,000, heavy and medium trucks and buses sold in the country. It's quite a large market in itself. And also now starting to become a little bit of a hub for vehicle exports. We export probably close to about 700 to 800,000 cars and UVs in a year. And that trend seems to be increasing in the recent past. When I was listening, quite recently to the US as well, the vehicles are much bigger. You are very SUV pickup truck dominant. India's was a very much a small car market. So you'd see what you'd see in Italy, in the small towns in Italy, the Fiat Cinquecento or something like that was the size of car, not as sophisticated maybe, but that size of car, right? So A and, what we call B segment vehicles in India were very dominant. In the last few years, again, aspiration has taken up. So you see a lot of movement towards slightly larger vehicles with more features, SUVs, but still much more compact than what you'd find in the US right now.
Yeah. So from a braking perspective too, so obviously if you're a brake company as you are in the Indian market, you focus a lot on two-wheelers and as you just mentioned, more the very small passenger car versus big, large trucks, right?
So Brakes India as a company doesn't serve the two-wheeler market. So we have focused extensively on passenger cars and UVs, and then we also do the medium and heavy commercial vehicles. And we have a small play in the tractor off-highway segment as well. So we are much more focused on the passenger car UV side.
Gotcha. What about from a government perspective? Yeah. Is the Indian government very active in the automotive segment as far as maybe coming out with policies, regulations, or are they, maybe a little bit more hands-off?
A few aspects I'll cover there. From a regulation perspective, the government has been playing a much more active role in the last 10 years, right? Both in terms of emission norms and safety norms. So the Indian market follows quite closely to the European norms. So, where they have Euro 3, Euro 4, Euro 6, and now 7 norms coming in for emissions. India went through what we call the Bharat Stage 3, Stage 4 emission norms, which are very, very similar to the Euro norms and would, be compatible with those. So while there was not as much activity from the government side for quite some time, driven by both road safety as well as, pollution in some of the larger cities, I think the government has been taking a much more active role. So we have progressed from the Euro 4 BS4 norms, Euro 6 BS6 right now. And that just happened in 2020. So most of the cars and trucks produced now, all the cars and trucks produced will cater to the BS6 Euro 6 norms. In addition, a lot of safety regulation has changed as well, right? So you see a lot of mandates on moving to, you know, ABS was mandated. There is contemplation on electronic stability control coming into place. Airbag regulations are getting more stringent. So it have gone from, you know, front driver airbags to passenger airbags being mandated, and even now side airbags being contemplated. So there's been a lot of shift in the regulations in the past few years. And there's two things I would say about this. One is, while it has increased the cost of vehicles on the road in India quite significantly, it also makes Indian manufacturers and domestic production more accessible to the global market. So vehicle exports becomes a little bit easier because you're complying with all the requirements anyway.
No, that's a really good point. Yeah. So I want to talk more about Brakes India now, kind of transition to talk more about your company. So what's the history? Can you provide maybe an overview of Brakes India, maybe a little bit about the history and kind of where you are today?
I'll start a little bit before Brakes India itself, because the company was actually started as part of the TVS Group, right? The TVS Group was started in 1911, which was my great-grandfather, Mr. T.V. Sundaram Iyengar, was the founder of that. And the family has kind of run the entire group of companies, started from a bus service, moved on to vehicle dealerships and spare parts distribution. And as India, you know, became an independent country and moved into its own economy, there was a mandate from the government to start local manufacturing. So Brakes India started in the 1960s. So Brakes India was founded in 1962, and it was started as a joint venture. At that point, it was a joint venture with Lucas Automotive, which was a British company which had multiple product lines. Braking was one of them. So Brakes India started actually with the Lucas Girling partnership. Over time, Lucas Girling obviously sold the braking business to TRW, which I'm sure you're very familiar with, which was then acquired by ZF in 2015. So it was a joint venture for a very long time. But due to some competition regulations, ZF had to divest their shareholding in Brakes India. That happened in July of 2021. So right now, Brakes India is an independent Indian family-owned company, serving all the customers in India, as well as some of the global customers here and some exports. So it started in 1962. So we're just over 60 years old now as a company.
Wow.
And have grown with the Indian market, with quite a large share of the market in India, both in passenger car and UVs, as well as in the commercial vehicle space.
This episode is brought to you by Hagman Search. When it comes to finding top-tier talent for your executive team, Hagman Search is a name you can trust. Not simply a recruiting firm, it's your strategic partner. Go to HagmanSearch.com to learn more.
Talk to me about the products within Brakes India. Is it friction? Is it foundation brake? Is it all the above? What's the product sets?
Because of the pedigree of products we grew with, we do foundation brakes. So we do, you know, front calipers, rear calipers. Drum brakes are still quite popular in India, so a lot of drum brakes. We do the vacuum booster and master cylinder, so the actuation. We also do brake hoses, which is a connection between obviously the hydraulic system and the hydraulic foundation brakes. And we started friction in the 80s, so we have quite a large friction portfolio, partly catering to OE, but quite a large aftermarket player in India as well. So on the passenger car UV side, you know, we have all that from the braking side. We also have a ABS product, which we had licensed obviously from ZF earlier, which we're selling in the market. And things are changing quite rapidly now. So we are gearing up for our own ABS and ESC down the line. There's a lot of work going on in our company looking at obviously electric vehicles. There's quite a bit of change happening there. So whether it's the e-booster two-box solution and eventually now to the one-box integrated brake booster solutions that we're looking at. But those are all, you know, projects in R&D phase right now. One of the things we've recently done is taken on electric park brakes has been quite a common feature with vehicles for the last, you know, 7 to 10 years, and predominantly with rear calipers. Whereas in India, many of the rear brakes in vehicles are drum brakes. So we've developed and launching a motor on drum brake, which is a electric park brake on a drum brake brake.
Oh, wow. Well, no, that's great. Now that ZF is no longer, I guess, a technology partner with Brakes India, you know, what's the future look like for you all, or how have you all evolved, I guess, now that I guess you're kind of independent?
One benefit we've had, Brian, is that, you know, Lucas, TRW and ZF were very supportive partners, right? So we always had a very strong R&D team based in India, and they kind of built capability here. So we have a very full-fledged engineering setup. So we have, I think, 8 or 9 dynos in our facility. We have 6 noise dynos, and we have almost all the testing and validation equipment we need to fully validate for a new program. In addition to that, we've really increased our R&D output over the last few years. We've got a core engineering team that works on product improvements, whether it's foundation brakes on calipers, drum brakes, or even the booster master that we're still working on, continuous improvements. So we have a team that's quite capable, competent to do a lot of the core product work. And then we have a full team that's dedicated to obviously each customer's specific requirement on the application engineering, whether it's on friction selection, whether it's on, you know, specific braking requirements, program management, etc. So we have experience working with not just the domestic customers, but many of the multinational customers that have set up in India as well. So, you know, our customer list would definitely include Maruti Suzuki, Mahindra, Tata out of India. But also, if you look at, you know, we worked with Volkswagen, Stellantis with the Jeep brand, with the Peugeot brand. We worked with several of the Japanese OEMs that have set up here, whether it's Toyota, Honda, Renault, Nissan. You know, we had quite a mix of players within India. So I think that experience has built us in good credibility to work with them in the future as well.
And you mentioned electric vehicles a few moments ago. What does the electric vehicle market look like in India? Is it growing quite a bit? Is it slower maybe than in other countries? What's the market look like?
So electric vehicles in the two-wheeler segment have caught on quite well, right? So whether it's scooters or motorbikes for urban use have started picking up quite well. And we have close to, you know, a little over 10% penetration already in that space. So you're talking about over 1 million two-wheelers produced with EV two-wheelers already in the country. On the passenger car UV side, it's not been as fast, right? I mean, you have obviously examples like China and, you know, Norway and Sweden, where adoption has been very high, even in Europe in general. India is still somewhere around the 2-3% EV new vehicle sales range, right? And there are a few things that are bottlenecks in the country. It is a price sensitive market, and EVs without all the subsidies that come with them are more expensive. So that is definitely one of the main points that would cause an issue. There is also a lot of hesitation. Range anxiety obviously is a global phenomenon we have here as well. Charging infrastructure is much worse in India than in many of the other countries. Electricity supply is getting more reliable, but not as easy to come by. It's hard to get high power connections at home to recharge an EV. So outside of urban cities, I think in rural India, EVs will take a long time to penetrate as infrastructure catches up. And there's still a lot of hesitance, both from a cost perspective as well as from a maintenance reliability perspective. So I think we're not over those hurdles as yet.
So from a business perspective with Brakes India, is it a priority to have to figure out, you know, the impact it's going to have on the new products coming out? Or is it definitely much lower on the priority list just because of maybe the slower transition?
Within the Indian market, it will be a slower transition. And I think we also have a curve to go through. So while it's a big priority for R&D, if we don't launch, you know, obviously a product right now, it is not going to hurt our business immediately. But if you look at our strategy as a company, we are looking at significant growth through exports. And we think the first aspects we will touch would be the foundation brakes, which are not changing significantly with EVs coming in, right? Obviously, there are some requirements on low drag features. There are requirements on the noise, NVH capabilities on these brakes. So those are very big areas of focus for us to make sure we have foundation brakes that are well suited for the EV market. In fact, we've recently developed a ultra low drag caliper, which, you know, is kind of best in class, sub 0.5 Newton meters drag, right? And we used to be at probably 3-5 Newton meters of drag just a few years ago. So it's quite a significant improvement on the low drag caliper that we have. In addition to that, we are looking at the friction formulations quite significantly. NVH is a huge issue in EVs because you don't have the engine noise to camouflage other noises, right? So that has been a very big focus. We are enhancing both our simulation capability for noise as well as our validation procedures on that side. So if you look at the overall EV, that is where we are really focusing. The e-booster, those pieces will come in, but not an immediate entry to the market.
So what's your international presence like right now from a business perspective? Do you have other manufacturing in other countries? I know you mentioned exporting to other countries. What's your overall international business look like?
About 20% of our sales would be exports right now, Brian. And we don't have much manufacturing out of India. We have an assembly facility Indonesia for a specific program, and we have a foundry set up. So just to give you some context, Brakes India is roughly, you know, if you look at the verticals we have a light vehicle braking unit, we have a heavy commercial vehicle braking unit, and then we have a foundry iron castings unit. Majority of our exports right now is on the iron casting side, both for safety critical products like brake calipers, castings, as well as steering knuckles. We do export foundation brakes as well as booster mass cylinders. So we do to Europe, we do to Latin America, Southeast Asia, a small amount. So we have a diversified portfolio of exports right now, but it's, you know, on the braking side, I would say we have probably, you know, 15 to 20% of our brake sales would be on the export side as well. That is something we really need to grow as we kind of develop our capability. And one of the things we want to have is all products that we make will be globally benchmarked rather than just for the Indian market. So that's why I'm talking about all the features that we need to put into our products are pretty much there right now.
Do you have any future plans to grow any manufacturing or anything outside of India further?
We've been actively looking at what we need to do, and it's from two angles, Brian. So India is definitely a very low-cost manufacturing base for us. I would say we will continue to see India as being our major location for manufacturing. Where we are starting to look at whether we have operations outside, there are two things that are driving it. One is supply chain risk, which I think many people have started to realize the potential dangers with long shipping times, as well as having supply chains that are close to them. So that is one of the things we are trying to address and mitigate. Even within India, we have multiple plants for the same types of products. So that is one consideration we're looking at from a global perspective. The second one is obviously, while global trade is still quite strong, there are a lot of regulations coming that are forcing some kind of localization from a taxation point of view. Europe is very heavy on sustainability. So I think they have brought out the CBAM regulations, which are looking at carbon-based adjustment of pricing, right, for imported goods. So that is something we're thinking about actively. And if you look at the North America market, you have USMCA, right, which is a tariff that will come on the end vehicle if the content is not made more regionally. So those are things we're grappling with and trying to see what strategically we need to do to satisfy both supply chain de-risking as well as some of the regulations that are coming in from a trade perspective. But if you look in the next few years, I would say we will predominantly be India-based exporting with some assembly operations to support customers nearby.
I know there's a lot of companies that are either really looking to potentially start a manufacturing facility in India, or some that have, you know, there's been a lot that have started here recently. What's your take on that? Is it from India's perspective, are you seeing that activity? A lot of companies coming into India to focus on manufacturing there?
Absolutely. I think the hype is real. Right. We are seeing a lot of activity on the ground with manufacturing being set up, expansions also happening. The other thing we're seeing a lot of, Brian, is a lot of companies setting up R&D centers, right? Centers of excellence on specific areas or even back office engineering support. I've seen, you know, both aspects of it. And it's not just the tier ones, OEMs are doing this, tier twos are starting to come in. So we're starting to see some of that activity on the ground in India for sure.
I want to talk about counterfeiting for one. You know, the US, you know, we definitely have a focus on either knowingly or unknowingly, parts coming into the U.S. that are counterfeit, you know, especially obviously with braking, the safety issue. Are you seeing that? Is counterfeiting a big issue in India? Is that impacting, you know, your all's business at all?
Counterfeiting happens. It happens in especially in rural markets where access to some of the branded goods is not available as much. And, you know, there's counterfeiting both locally as well as across the border. We get products in which are relabeled and then sold. So the government has been supporting this through regulation. I mean, supporting meaning to prevent this through regulation. And over time, I think standards have evolved, try and get certain standards on products in the aftermarket space. While some regulations have come out, it is hard to enforce some of this, right? So it is a big challenge. While it's not a huge percentage of products, the danger is very real, both from a safety perspective on braking, right? I think we have seen cases where even, you know, pads, the very substandard pads that kind of crack and break under normal load conditions would be repackaged in certain, you know, branded good packages and sold in certain cases. That is definitely one thing that we see happening sporadically. It is an issue. I would say it is, you know, sub 5-10% of the market when you look at real counterfeiting being sold. As the organized market expands and gets more reach, counterfeiting will have less and less of a space. The other thing that's really lowered counterfeiting over time, I think, is a lot of safety and awareness drives the industry has done. I think there has been a lot of work from the industry body as well to kind of tell mechanics what the consequences some of this are. So while it's still an issue, I don't think this is something that's insurmountable, but needs consistent action both from government side as well as industry to tackle.
I want to talk about products and innovation. innovation. We've kind of touched on some of the products in earlier in the conversation, but are there any new technologies, any new innovations that you guys are excited about that you're able to, talk about?
So I think we touched on a few of these points earlier. The ultra low drag caliper we talked about, I think is something that we are very happy with and keen to get into customers' hands. It doesn't have a lot of add-on costs because it's really design-based in terms of how the caliper performs, the stiffness of the caliper, the retraction of the piston, and then a few retraction features that make it a low-drag caliper. And I think our team has done a very modular design on this, so it's easily extensible across our entire range of products. So this is something that customers, are quite keen to adopt for very little add-on costs. It kind of gives them a lot of benefit on fuel economy as well as on the EV, I think, really no chance of wear and, noise on the vehicle at that point. The second one is the motor on drum brake. We are going to have our first model go into production in the next few months. The team has done a superb job on the design and development here. Very small lead time. And from a feature perspective, I've driven this in all kinds of conditions. It works really well, right? It feels exactly like a motor on caliper park brake. It is quite a bit lower in cost and obviously works on vehicles that are already designed with a drum brake on the rear. So it gives you all the features of a park brake, which is, drive away assist, hill hold, roll away prevention. All those features are built in. So from a software perspective and feature perspective, it meets all the requirements and can give you all the features that a typical EPV caliper would give you. So that is something we're very excited about and customers are reciprocating. Once they see it, they're very happy because it fits on their existing products to a large extent. The other thing we're starting to work on right now, which is not, coming out of our company in the next year or so, but maybe 2 to 3 years down the line. Obviously, on the electronics and software side, we're investing a lot. We've actually ramped up our teams there significantly. So we have a lot of catch up to do as well, but ABS-ESC will be on our roadmap. What we're excited about is we already have a prototype e-booster for a brake booster, and that we're trying to see if we can get into production in certain niche segments, right? And then kind of work on the eventual solution of a one box solution that, many customers would want to look at. So I would say there's quite a lot of activity happening and these products are getting a lot of attention with customers. The last one I would say is on the EV side, we're working on friction materials that are much more compliant for what customers are looking for. One is from a sustainability angle, the brake emissions has been in focus. So we're making pads that have much more environmentally friendly emissions. So obviously copper free, but also a lot of other materials and resins are being selected carefully to make sure that the residues are much more safe. On the EV side, we've come up with the Zap pads. So those are something we've started working with both OE as well as aftermarket.
That's great. Now, before we wrap up here, let's talk about the future, Brakes India. Obviously, you've got a rich history. How do you see the company evolving in the next 5 or 10 years?
I'll be very thankful. We have a superb leadership team that's been working on, our strategy going forward. And as we look at it, both from an interest in India, from a global perspective, as well as the opportunities we have, we see Brakes India truly developing first from an India-based global brake supply company to becoming a much more global company, right? 5 years down the line, we will still be very heavily India-based, supplying to OEMs in different continents with small, maybe assembly facilities to support them. But if you say 10 years down the line, I'm pretty confident that we will be in a technological position as well as a, global reach position to say we will have facilities, North America, Europe, Southeast Asia, looking at catering to customers in those regions. And that's the kind of strategy the team is working on. And from a product perspective, I think I'm very confident that our teams, the excitement is high, the output is extremely good. So I think in terms of catching up both on foundation brake norms as well as on some of the booster norms, I think the product portfolio will be there to compete with most of the global players at that time.
Great. Well, Shram, it has been a pleasure. I've appreciated your time today. I've enjoyed our conversation, and I definitely look forward to catching up again sometime.
No, thanks, Ryan. Likewise, really great to be on the Brake Report. I mean, we've obviously read and, seen episodes of this earlier, but great to be on and look forward to interacting with you and having my team also talk to you down the line if needed.
This is Brian Hagman, host of Coffee Break. I want to give a big thank you to today's guest and to all of you for tuning in. Until next time, let's keep breaking stuff.